The reading of the scripture continues, picking up at verse 7. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to all his people. When it says he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the ministry, for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth and building itself up in love. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. I am a lectionary preacher. I think this is the first time I've ever gone off lectionary. But I also like to work with Donovan and to make our messages go together. And so this week when he told me they were singing One Faith, One Hope, One Lord, I thought, okay, that'll be nice. And I opened the lectionary. And then I turned on the TV and I saw the reality of division in our world. And I thought, no, Donovan has the message this week. I better get on board. So thank you to the choir for inspiring us. Let us pray. God, you are one. As one people gathered here, unite us in the freedom, in the good news, in the steadfast love that you have already made so. God, bless the preaching of your word. May it be a word of comfort and a word of challenge that we might go out to love and serve your people. God, quiet every voice within us that is not yours. Stay close to us in this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's a poem by Maya Angelou called Human Family, and this is the poem. I note the obvious differences in the human family. Some of us are serious. Some thrive on comedy. Some declare their lives are lived as true profundity, and others claim they live the real reality. The variety of our skin tones can confuse, bemuse, delight. Brown and pink and beige and purple, tan and blue and white. I've sailed upon the seven seas and stopped in every land. I've seen the wonders of the world, not yet one common man. I know 10,000 women called Jane and Mary Jane, but I've not seen any two who really were the same. Mirror twins are different, although their features jibe, and lovers think quite different thoughts while lying side by side. We love and lose in China, we weep on England's moors. We laugh and moan in Guinea and thrive on Spanish shores. We seek success in Finland, are born and die in Maine. In minor ways we differ, in major we are the same. I note the obvious differences between each sort and type, but we are more alike, my friends, than we are unalike. We are more alike, my friends, than we are unalike. We are more alike, my friends, then we are unalike. Those are perhaps the Apostle Maya's words. Those are her words. But as the Apostle Paul put it with his own poetry, one body and one spirit, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, above all, through all, and in all. For there are many gifts, but the same Spirit who gives them. And there are many people from across all the divisions of life, Jew and Greek, slave and free, man and woman, educated and uneducated, hungry and well-fed, legal and illegal, Republican and Democrat. But all are part of one body of Christ, all gifted from the one Spirit, all baptized in the one baptism, finding one faith, leaning on one hope in the one God who is Creator above all and is Christ through all and is Spirit in all. For we are more alike, my friends, than we are unalike. But are we? I have to ask that question because I saw the memes of Greta Thunberg and our own President Donald Trump. Did you see them? Some of you? It was a picture. Greta is the Swedish 16-year-old environmental activist of international fame who started a global school strike for climate. And in this meme, this picture, she is in the corner of a UN room, looking, scowling perhaps, at the president with full expression, making it perfectly clear how she feels about him. And the president has breezed right past her with no respect, no welcome, or acknowledgement given. I cannot think of a better example of the division in our world. A young person and an old person. A male and a female, one on the autism spectrum, one not. One championing creation, the other denying the need to do so. In a world where people follow such vastly different leaders, how can we be bold to proclaim any sort of unity at all? And let's be real for a minute. In this very room, this house of God, there are those of us who would rather follow Greta and those of us who would rather follow President Trump. Or to put it in the negative, there are those of us who are absolutely sickened by the name of one and absolutely hope-filled by the name of the other. And we're all different on that, right? That division is here. We can be bold to name that, right? And we work really hard not to bring those very real, very painful differences to the surface. Because we want to be unified, and we want to like each other. We want to remain neighborly, and we want to be accepted by one another. And we want to have just one place that's free from all of it. And so we work really hard to ignore those all too real differences. We label it politics, and we pretend it has no place here at church, as if not every part of our lives has a place at church. But the reality is, the world has already divided us by our politics. And if we don't acknowledge those very real differences, then we are not boldly living into the unity of God, into the unity to which God has called us and of which we ought make ourselves worthy. If we're pretending that those differences aren't real, then we're denying God the power to be bigger than them. So given that we represent many differences, and of course, not all of them political, we represent different genders, ages, sexualities, different races, and different classes. There are those of us who live in Cranberry and those of us who live outside of Cranberry. Some of us are singled, some are widowed, and some are married. Some of us have children and others of us do not. Some of us are sick and others of us are healthy. Some of us miss the former pastor and some of us do not. And some of us are so new that we couldn't even tell you his name. I don't think I need to say anything more to prove that there are plenty of differences among us. Knowing that we are different, what then does it mean to be unified? It means that we rely on a gift from God and not on our own selves. The life to which we are called is a life and a calling given by God. It isn't a life that lives up to our own values, our own greatest dreams, or our biggest goals. It isn't about living our best lives. It's about living a life worthy of God, of God's best in you, worthy of God's values, God's dreams, and God's goals. And the God who has given us life and a calling has already covered us with grace and already wrapped us up in steadfast love. And there is nothing that we need to do to earn it and nothing that we can do to deny it. As I read one commentator put it this week, the life we live is worthy not because it can ever deserve such grace, but because such grace both calls for and calls forth a life that is in line with God's intent. And in this reality of God's grace and steadfast love, and in the reality of our need for God's grace and steadfast love, we are more alike, my friends, than we are unalike. And though we may be different, our unity comes from Christ. The center of this text, it isn't an imperative to live a certain way, but rather the story of Christ's astonishing freedom and Christ's willingness to descend to earth with the gifts of heaven. Christ's descension, Christ's emptying of himself is the model of our unity. Christ's humility, Christ's gentleness, Christ's patience and love, it is the stuff of unity and peace. And in like manner, God descended in the form of the Holy Spirit once again to close the gap between heaven and earth, human and divine, that all might have something of the divine within them, that all might have God-given gifts, and in those gifts we might grow up into Christ, the model of our unity. And so to be unified, it means to celebrate diversity. Unity has room for diversity and difference. The gifts of the Spirit have made it so. Some will be apostles, leaders with wisdom, making sure that there is a way made for the future while relying on the wisdom of those gone before. The gifts of the Spirit are many, and some will be prophets. They'll be able to speak truth and love for the sake of God's kingdom come. Some evangelists, those who effuse good news, the good news of God's love made known in Jesus Christ, those who are unable to keep it to themselves, sharing for the sake of life abundant for all. Some will be pastors, tending to the needs of others, being in relationship and offering care, safety and guidance for the building up of the body of Christ. And some will be teachers, making space for every unique child of God to learn and to participate, equipping them to live into God's intentions for their lives. And when all know their gifts, and when all have room to share and to participate from their place of God-giftedness, then we begin, just begin, to live into the unity of our faith and into the maturity of Christ. Paul has spent the first three chapters of Ephesians laying out a new reality in Christ. In Jesus, God has broken down all walls that divide us. In Jesus, God has offered salvation and community and belonging to all. And against that reality, Paul offers this therefore. Because of the reality of Christ, who has already broken down every dividing wall, we are free to live this life worthy. We are free to live this life marked by Christ's unity. We are more alike, my friends, than we are unalike, because God has already made it so. God has already put the you in unity. But it is so hard to imagine, and even harder to trust, and perhaps hardest of all to enact. As a congregation, we are busy collecting the plethora of voices and opinions about the life of this church. Those results will make it plain. Here are the things we are unified on, and here are the things we have disagreement about when it comes to the life of this church. And from there, we're going to try to step into a future that God has planned, into the future that God has planned for this congregation. It might well be a time when unity seems perhaps even more difficult than it does right now. I can hear my mother saying, "You can't please them all." And if it seems hard to stay unified as a church in the midst of transition, all the more so will it be to stay unified as a people in the midst of an election. But unity isn't about pleasing everybody. Unity isn't about uniformity. Unity isn't about unanimity. Everyone having the same opinion. Unity isn't dividing and dividing and dividing until all that's left are folks that agree with us. Unity isn't speaking in love only to the folks we agree with. Unity isn't ignoring the things that challenge our perspectives. Unity is not picking a side and then doubling down on it and then forcing it upon all who disagree. And unity is not expecting perfection and casting out anything that falls short. Rather, unity is made possible by the gift of God, our Creator. Unity is modeled by Christ, our Redeemer, and unity is sustained through the diversity of the Spirit. Unity always chooses humility and gentleness. It bears one another with all of our differences. It bears one another in love, while it leans into the things that make us the same, one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, with and through and in all. And through this already true oneness, the body of Christ that is Christ's church, it builds itself up in love. So here's the takeaway. Find your Spirit-given, God-sent gift and bring it to the table in a Christ-like manner, not shying away from our very real differences, but stepping forth in humility and gentleness, and know that the grace of God sufficiently covers all of the mistakes that we will surely make on our way to maturity in Christ. God has already put the you in unity, and now you just have to step into it. By God's grace, may it be so. Amen.